ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 7 What Prahlad Learned in the Womb, Text 48. Tasmat Arthah Cha Kamah Cha Dharmah Cha Yat अपाश्रयः भजत अनिहया आत्मानम् अनिहम् हरिम् ईश्वरम्। तस्मादर्थाश्च कामाश्च धर्माश्च यदपाश्रयाः भजतानिह य आत्मानम् अनिहं हरिमीश्वरम्। तस्मादर्थाश्च कामाश्च धर्माश्च यदपाश्रयाः भजतानि हयात्मानम् अनिहं हरिमीश्वरम्। तस्मादर्थाश्च कामाश्च धर्माश्च यदपाश्रयाः भजतानि हयात्मानम् अनिहं हरिमीश्वरम्। तस्मादर्थाश्च कामाश्च तपाश्रयाः हम हरिमीश्वरम्। तस्य कामाश्च Mataji's. Tasmat, therefore, Arthah, ambitions for economic development, Cha, and Kamah, ambitions for satisfaction of the senses, Cha, also Dharmah, duties of religion, Cha, and Yat, upon whom, Apashrayah, dependent, Bhajata, worship, Anihaya, without desire for them, Atmanam, the Supersoul, Aniham, indifferent, Harim, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ishwaram, the Lord. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: the four principles of advancement in spiritual life, Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha, all depend on the disposition of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, my dear friends, follow in the footsteps of devotees. Without desire, fully depend upon the disposition of the Supreme Lord. Worship Him, the Supersoul, in devotional service. Purport: these are words of intelligence. Everyone should know that in every stage of life, we are dependent upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the dharma, religion, which we accept, should be that which is recommended by Prahlad Maharaj, Bhagavat Dharma. This is the instruction of Krishna: Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. To take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna means to act according to the rules and regulations of Bhagavat Dharma, devotional service. As far as economic development is concerned, we should discharge our occupational duties but fully depend on the lotus feet of the Lord for the results. Karmanyevadhikaraste ma phaleshu kadachana. You have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. According to one's position, one should perform his duties, but for the results, one should fully depend on Krishna. Narottam Das Thakur sings that our only desire should be to perform the duties of Krishna consciousness. We should not be misled by the Karma Mimamsa philosophy, which concludes that if we work seriously, the results will come automatically. This is not a fact. The ultimate result depends upon the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In devotional service, therefore, the devotee completely depends upon the Lord and honestly performs his occupational duties. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj advised his friends to depend completely on Krishna and worship him in devotional service. Kindly repeat the translation. The four principles of advancement in spiritual life: Dharma, Artha, Kama and Moksha. all depend on the disposition of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, my dear friends, follow in the footsteps of devotees. Without desire, fully depend upon the disposition of the Supreme Lord. Worship Him, the Super Soul, in devotional service. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurun Dinatarinam Vancha Kalpataro Bhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyavacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratvishe Namaha Panchatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadho Vargenaya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramana Mamalam Prema Pumartho Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhor Matamidam Tatradara Naparaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. It's always a pleasure to be back in Sri Radha Ras Bihari Mandir. The topic being discussed today is the teachings of Sri Prahlad Maharaj to his friends. And in the course of these teachings, in this verse, he is talking about the four principles of advancement in spiritual life. in terms of ordinary consideration, the so-called four purusharthas or objectives of life, dharma, artha, kama and moksha, religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation. And he's talking about these principles in relationship to the pure devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have different kinds of dharmas that are explained in the Vedic literature. The word dharma is a very deep word, and that can be understood in different ways in different contexts. But these varieties of dharmas are prescribed for different types of people in different situations. So because there is such a wide variety of dharmas, it might be and is confusing to many people. What dharma should I follow? Should I follow this dharma, that dharma? Which dharma should I follow? So Lord Krishna has made everything very clear in the 18th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita when he says, Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchaha. Where he says, O Arjuna, abandon all varieties of dharma and simply surrender unto me. I will protect you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. So this may sound like a contradictory or a strange statement coming from Lord Krishna. On one hand, we hear in the earlier part of the Bhagavad Gita that he descends in every age, Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. And he comes for what purpose? Dharma samsthapanarthaya. He comes to establish the principles of dharma. So on one hand, in the beginning, Lord Krishna has told us that he comes, he descends in this world to establish dharma. And here in the 18th chapter, he is saying, give up all varieties of dharma. So it sounds like a contradiction. It is not a contradiction actually. Because in the second line of this verse, Krishna explains what he means. When he says sarva dharman parityajya, he also follows it up by saying mam ekam sharanam vraja. Give up all varieties of dharma and take exclusive shelter of me. Surrender to me utterly. So this surrendering to Krishna is the real dharma, is the ultimate dharma which Krishna has actually come here to establish. Other types of dharma are what need to be given up. When we are in pure Krishna consciousness, that is the ultimate dharma. And that, as Prabhupada explains here in the purport, according to teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, is Bhagavat Dharma. That is the teaching he has come here to give, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, etc. The ninefold principles of devotional service. So therefore this Bhagavat Dharma is the ultimate dharma, that is Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. And it is this dharma that Krishna refers to. And then he says that all other dharmas apart from this one dharma should be given up. The Srimad Bhagavatam also similarly rejects all other types of dharma except this Bhagavata dharma. Kaitava dharma. Dharma prajjita kaitavotra paramo nirmatsaranam satam. So in the very second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says that all varieties of dharma that are not in tune with the Bhagavad Dharma are to be rejected. And in fact, the Bhagavatam uses very strong language to call these dharmas as Kaitava dharma, which means cheating religion. So the question may naturally arise in our mind, if it is cheating religion, then why is it mentioned in the scripture? Are the scriptures meant for cheating us? In fact, this is the one point that Narad Muni admonishes his disciple Vyasadev on, and we read this in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. When he says, Narad Muni, he says, Vyasadev, what have you done? You have compiled so many different types of scriptures, but they are mostly karma kanda type of scriptures, where you speak about a dharma that is mundane, materialistic, that only encourages sense gratification, but in a religious way. So you have actually, in the name of dharma or religion, encouraged people to engage in sense gratification. So therefore, you must rectify this mistake, compensate for it by speaking at length about the real dharma, about the real religion. And that pertains to the glorification of the name, fame, pastimes, glories, etc. of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. So after having given this instruction to Vyasadev, Narad Muni leaves. He blesses Vyasadev. And then Vyasadev actually compiles or composes the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is actually all about pure devotional service. So this is the Bhagavad Dharma that is the ultimate goal of life. This is the one dharma that all of humanity should practice. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radhokshaje ahaitukiya pratihitaya yatma suprasidati. The highest dharma for all humanity, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, is that by which loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead will be awakened in the heart. And for such devotional service to be genuinely satisfying to the soul, and for it to give real happiness, it must be unmotivated and uninterrupted. Ahaituki and apratihata. So here also we witness the terms parodharma. Param means supreme. So when you say something or someone is supreme, then you also indicate that there are other things that are not supreme. When you say he's a supreme Godhead or he's a supreme personality, that means there are other personalities who are not supreme. Otherwise, why would you use the term supreme? The term supreme is a statement by which we indicate the best in the category. In terms of analysis and ordinary logic, there are three categories when you want to describe something. Positive, comparative and superlative. Correct? Good, better, best. You say, this is good. This Rasgulla is good. So you're making a positive statement. You're ascribing a certain quality to it. But then you say, but this Rasgulla is better than this one. So you're making a comparative statement between two Rasgullas. And then you say, but of all these Rasgullas, this one is the best. So you're making a statement among so many varieties of Rasgullas, and saying, this is the best. Superlative. So the word supreme indicates superlative. Supreme Lord. So there are other minor lords, small time lords. But the supreme Lord is Krishna. Similarly, parodharma means the supreme dharma. So there must be other varieties of dharmas that are not supreme. So what is that supreme dharma? That is the Bhagavad dharma, which Prahlad Maharaj has spoken about, and which Prabhupada also refers to here. Pure Krishna consciousness. So this is the dharma that Krishna has actually come to establish. This is the dharma that all humanity needs to follow. And the dharma artha kama moksha, the chatur purushartha, the four principles of ordinary life, not of transcendental life, of ordinary life, the first is dharma. But this dharma, in the dharma artha kama moksha, does not refer to Bhagavad dharma. This is a lower dharma, which is mundane religiosity, ordinary mundane dharma, especially that of the karma kanda variety, that which is intended for obtaining some material gain, some material benefit, artha, wealth, etc. And with the help of that wealth, then one uses that for obtaining sense gratification, kama. And ultimately, when one has reached a certain point of development in one's consciousness, one begins to realize, after many lifetimes of pursuing this dharma, artha, kama, that actually kama even is not the goal of life. There is a transcendental objective to our life, and that is moksha, liberation from the cycle of birth and death. But even at this stage, there is no clear understanding of what that moksha or liberation actually is. One might even think in terms of merging into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti of the Lord. And indeed, most people who do think of moksha think of it like that. First of all, very few people think of liberation. And of those few who do, the vast majority, except for Vaishnavas that is, they think of moksha in terms of merging into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti of the Lord. So therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has emphasized that apart from these chatur purusharthas, apart from these four objectives of life, there is a fifth one, which is the most important one, and that is the panchama purushartha, which is bhakti or the Bhagavad dharma. So this is the ultimate objective of life for all human beings. The varnashrama dharma that is being spoken about here, and the dharma, so the dharma here is basically varnashram dharma, ordinary varnashram dharma, which is performed primarily to live some kind of civilized moral life, an ordinary religious life. But there is not much of a conception of a spiritual life. There is no deep spiritual understanding in ordinary varnashrama dharma. The goal of life also may not be clear in the mind of the person who is practicing varnashrama dharma, because there is so much of a variety of worship to be done in ordinary varnashrama dharma. You have to worship the forefathers, you have to worship the demigods, you also have to worship the Supreme Lord. But because the worship of the Supreme Lord is included in a variety of other forms of worship, most often the people who are following this, they cannot distinguish who is supreme and who is not. And they consider all types of worship to be the same. And even the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is just one type of worship that they are doing. They get some benefit because they are worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, after many, many lifetimes of performing such varnashrama dharma practices, one day, because of the accumulation of whatever devotional service they have done to Krishna as a part of that varnashrama dharma practice, they will come to the point of devotional service. So why take a long route like that? So why not just directly surrender to Krishna? That is what Prabhupada teaches. That is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to deliver. Therefore, in that famous conversation between Ramananda Rai and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Rai to speak about the goal of life, Then Ramananda Rai first of all begins and explains so many different factors, and each time Mahaprabhu says, Eho Bahya, Aage Kaho Aar, this is external. Even when in the beginning Ramananda Rai speaks about the Varnashram Dharma, Varnashram Achara Vata Purusha Punsena Purusha Paman. So when he speaks about Varnashrama, then he says, Eho Bahya, this is external. Not because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is considering Varnashrama as something that is not bona fide. Of course not, because it is in the Shastra. And he himself was following Varnashrama because he was a sannyasi. A sannyasi is also within the Varnashrama system. It is the fourth ashram. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very scrupulously followed the rules of the sannyasa ashram. So he himself was following Varnashram. So when he says, Eho Bahya, that this Varnashrama is external, he is not condemning it as being something untrue or false or not authentic. But he says, what he intends to say, is that this is not the ultimate goal of life. The ultimate goal of life is to develop pure love of Krishna. And the Srimad Bhagavatam of course emphasizes this again and again. Ataha pumbhir dvijashreshtha varnashrama vibhagashah svanushthitasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. So the goal of performing our varnashrama dharma duties perfectly even is that we have to ultimately please the Supreme Lord Hari or Krishna. Or another word, dharma svanushitaha punsam vishvaksena kathasuyah notpadyed yadiratim shrama evahi kevalam. The perfection of our performance of our duties in the varnashrama system is to develop rati or taste for the discussions and kathas of the glorification of the Supreme Lord. And if that is not done, then all our performance of our occupational duties according to Varnashrama are a waste. Shrama eva hi kevalam. Shrama indicates here useless labor. And this point has been brought about again and again, many, many times. For example, Bilvamangal Thakur has explained in his prayers, Bhaktis tvai sthiratara bhagavan yadi syad daivena nah phalati divya kishora murtihi muktihi svayam mukulitanjali sevate sman dharmartha kama gataya samaya pratikshaha. Very beautiful verse in which he says that, my dear Lord, if somebody is very firmly fixed in your devotional service, bhaktistvayi, that means your devotional service, sthiratara, that means is very firmly fixed in that. Yadi syat, if that person is very thoroughly fixed in your devotional service, then what happens? Daivena naha phalati, the result of that is divya kishora murtihi. That person becomes eligible to see your beautiful transcendental form. And what else happens? Muktihi svayam. Mukti or liberation. The goddess of liberation personified herself. What does she do? Mukulitanjali sevate sman. Mukulitanjali, that means she stands there with folded hands in front of this devotee, offering her service. Please accept me. But the devotee does not want to accept liberation, because the general conception of liberation is that it is merging with the impersonal Brahman. So even the Mukti Devi herself stands with folded hands in front of the devotees, begging to be used in the service of the devotee is not keen. And when the devotee is not keen even for accepting the service of mukti, what then to speak of dharma, artha and kama, which are the lower three of the Chaturpurusharthas. Dharma, Artha, Kama, Gataya, Samaya, Pratikshaha. So all these other three are obviously waiting, they're eager to serve Him. And all their attainments of Dharma, Artha, Kama are at the disposal of this pure devotee of the Lord. So this is the glory of devotional service. What to speak of the devotee not seeking or not being interested in ordinary mundane religion, which is materially motivated. The pure devotee of the Lord is not also interested in accumulating money and wealth and prestige and so on of this world. And what to speak of the worldly pleasures of life. Even liberation is something that is considered insignificant for the supreme, for the devotees of the Lord. As Kapila Dev himself, who is an incarnation of the Lord, has said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the third canto, Salokya Sashti Samipya Sarupyaikatvamapyuta Diyamanam na Grhananti Vina Matsevanam Janaha. He is addressing his mother, Devahuti. He becomes a guru of his own mother and explains to her the glories of the pure devotees and therefore also the glories of pure devotional service. Why does a devotee become glorious? Because the devotee is the receptacle of pure devotional service, which is the most glorious thing in the world. When somebody has something very, very valuable, then the person becomes very esteemed in the eyes of society. If somebody has great intelligence or great beauty or some kind of extraordinary capability, then in the eyes of the world it becomes respected. So the most exalted thing in all of creation is pure devotional service, pure bhakti for the Supreme Lord. And therefore, because this pure bhakti resides in the heart of that devotee also automatically becomes glorious. How glorious is the pure devotee of the Lord? This can be gauged by the fact that he does not even seek liberation. There are generally five kinds of liberation that are offered. Four of them lead to Vaikuntha. One of them lead to the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. Salokya means that kind of liberation by which one attains to the same planet as the Supreme Lord. Sarshti means that one obtains the same opulences as the Supreme Lord. Samipya means one becomes a personal associate of the Supreme Lord. And one gets the same postal address as God Himself. Just like the servant of a king also lives in the palace. And if his relatives have to send him a letter, his address will be the king's palace. But we should not think, of course, that he is the king. But still, because he is a servant of the king, he lives in the palace. What an address to have. So similarly, the devotees of the Lord, when they are promoted to the spiritual world, they live in the same address as the Lord. That is, they become his personal associates. And not only that, even sarupya is possible, which means one gets the same form as the Supreme Lord. So these four are offered to the devotees, and some devotees may sometimes accept them and go to Vaikuntha. The fifth type of liberation, however, is not accepted by any devotee, and that is called ekatvam or sayujya, which means to merge into the impersonal effulgence of Lord Krishna. And in such a condition, there is no possibility of rendering seva or service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, Kapila Dev says, Diyamanam, even if it is offered, na grahananti. The devotee doesn't accept that. Why not? Vina matsevanam janaha. Because Kapila is the Lord himself, so he says mat, he refers to himself. That the pure devotee does not accept liberation if it is devoid of the opportunity to serve me. By me, he is referring to himself, the Supreme Lord. In other words, the devotees are only interested in purely serving the Supreme Lord without any selfish expectations. Nothing in return. Service for the sake of service, for the sake of pleasing the Supreme Lord, not with the expectation of any material reward, etc. Therefore, it becomes fully satisfying to the soul. This is the highest dharma which Krishna has come here to establish. This is what Srila Prabhupada has established all over the world through the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. And our temples have only one business: how to practice and promote this pure Krishna consciousness, this pure Bhagavat Dharma. So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is explaining here how one should not become distracted by this dharma, artha, kama, moksha. One should understand that even those people who desire these things are offered these things only by the grace of the Supreme Lord. Why then should we go for something of a lower value? Why should we not go for the highest and most precious treasure that Krishna has to offer from his treasury, which is bhakti, pure devotional service? It's a very rare jewel. Krishna's treasure box has many different kinds of treasures, various types of sense enjoyment and positions and heavenly planets and so on and so forth. Mind-boggling array, diverse varieties of different temptations of this world that are there in Krishna's treasure box. And he can offer it, and he does offer it to anyone very easily. But when it comes to devotional service that is very pure, he very rarely gives it. Why is that? Because that is his most precious treasure. And he will give that only to someone who is tested. When someone becomes a pure devotee, Krishna becomes so obliged to that devotee that he actually surrenders to that devotee. He submits himself to the devotee. He sells himself to that devotee. Vikrinite svamatmanam bhaktebhyo bhaktavatsalaha. Because I am bhaktavatsalaha, Krishna says, I am very affectionate to my devotees, therefore I even sell myself. I become a sold out slave of my devotee. This is the reciprocal relationship of love between the devotee and the Supreme Lord. So because the Lord actually submits himself completely to the pure devotee, so he is very careful before he gives devotional service to anyone. But if it is dharma, artha, kama, or even moksha, he will give it. For moksha, maybe it may take a few lifetimes of austerities, of penances, of yoga, speculation, and mixed with a little bit of devotional service, one day they may attain the perfection in their path. It's not a big deal for Krishna to give these things. But when it comes to pure devotional service, then Krishna is very careful. So therefore, the devotees are very intelligent. They understand Krishna is not going to give it directly so easily. So what do the devotees do? They follow the other devotees. So they take shelter of exalted devotees, because they know when the exalted devotee has mercy on me, then Krishna will be obliged to give me mercy. And because of the grace of this pure devotee, pure devotional service will come to me from Krishna. Krishna will feel obliged to grant me pure devotional service because I have taken shelter of his pure devotee. Therefore, Prahlad says here, therefore, my dear friends, follow in the footsteps of devotees. Mahajano yena gata sapantha. So this is the perfection of our life. We may or may not be able to understand and approach Krishna directly. It may not be so easy. But to approach devotees of the Lord and in their association, We hear and chant the glories of the Lord. We serve Krishna. We serve the devotees. And thus one day we will be eligible to receive this most precious gift of pure Krishna consciousness from the Supreme Lord. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for your nice class. So, in the purport of this verse, Srila Prabhupada has quoted the verse from Bhagavad Gita, Karmanye Vadhikaraste Mahaphalesho Kadachana. So, in this regard, I have a question that we see we are sometimes many grihasthas, they are earning some money, and from that money they are spending for purchasing cloth or medicine. So, in what sense Krishna says that you don't have right to the fruit of the action? You have right to perform your duty, but you don't have right to the fruit of that action. So, can you kindly clarify this?
Yes, because we may purchase the medicines for our family members and give it to them, but we have no guarantee that the medicines will work. That is upon Krishna. So we may do our duties in terms of looking after our family if we are grihasthas, but then ultimately if the medicines have to work, then Krishna's mercy is required. That is in the hands of Krishna. So according to Varnashrama Dharma, yes, a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi all have to do their own duties. But having performed those duties, we do it with a sense of dependence on Krishna. So we do what we are expected to do and we depend for Krishna on the fulfillment of the results. Even in direct devotional service, it is like that. And for a grihastha who is a devotee, it is also like that. Because the devotee lives only for the sake of obtaining pure devotional service, for serving Krishna. So therefore, in the pursuit of that higher goal, the secondary goals of looking after the family are also ultimately supportive or leading to that goal. These are not independent goals. For a non-devotee grihastha, he may think of family maintenance as an end in itself. But a devotee grihastha will not think of it like that. Although he will not be neglectful of his grihastha responsibilities, but he also understands this is not the goal of life. Ultimately he will see his family maintenance also in connection with Krishna. I have to maintain my family so that we can give an opportunity for all the family members to become Krishna conscious. That is the spirit in which it has to be done.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Yes. Here, here, here. Here. Okay. Sorry, yes.
I have a question regarding eating meat.
Eating meat.
Yes. In the Vedic system, some allowance is given for eating meat. How is it different from the Christians and the Muslims who are also eating
How
meat?
How is it different from?
From the Muslims and the Christians who also eat meat.
Okay, so your question is that there are some allowances given in the scriptures, Vedic scriptures, for eating meat. How is that different from the allowances given to Muslims and Christians in their scriptures? Yes? Not a substantial difference. So you see, in the Vedic scriptures there's such a wide variety, as I was explaining. Why so? Because the Vedic scriptures deal with people of all levels. Those who are absorbed in the lowest mode of ignorance, right up to those who are transcendental to the three modes of material nature. And they have something for everybody, so that each can progress further. So for those who are in the mode of ignorance and who want to remain there, instead of them eating meat or drinking alcohol indiscriminately, whimsically, the Vedic scriptures give them some regulated mechanism for doing it. It's some kind of an authorization. Srila Prabhupada used to say it's like a permit. In the old days, shops could sell liquor in India only with a permit. So you had to have a permit to sell, and then only on certain days. There were so many rules that were given. So it is not that the government wanted to promote the sale of alcohol. Nowadays it's different. But they knew that there would be people who would drink alcohol in any case. So instead of them brewing illicitly the alcohol and having so many tragedies, why don't just make it authorized, but in a restricted way? So that is the spirit in which these instructions are given in the Vedic scriptures. So therefore, it's some kind of an authorized system of eating meat. But it's not meant to be something one should be satisfied with. One is meant to understand gradually that one has to go beyond this. It's very sinful. And one has to go to the higher modes of nature, come to the mode of goodness, and eventually to transcend that and go beyond. However, in the other scriptures that you mentioned, they also talk about eating meat, but they don't give much of an alternative. They don't talk about how you should eventually give up eating meat. They also have their authorized way of sacrificing the animal according to their scripture. Then you can eat meat after that. But they don't talk about a stage when you should stop eating meat, where the Vedic scriptures talk about that. They don't say that you eat meat and it's all right, you can go on like this. You can worship God and you can keep eating meat alongside. No. They say, yes, you may, if you're in that, if you really are bent upon eating meat and you won't listen to anything else, all right, here you are. But remember, you have to go beyond this. You have to come to the mode of passion, the mode of goodness, eventually go beyond. But that is not mentioned in these other scriptures. That is the problem. They say it's all right to eat meat. You, so long as you do it in this way, it's fine. But they don't mention how they should transcend the eating of meat very soon and go to a higher spiritual platform. Does that answer your question? Okay.
Hare Krishna. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna and Pandava accepted Lord Krishna as Bhagavan. But in the later time, they constructed three Shiva temples in which are known to us and which are even existing now.
Who constructed?
Pandava.
Okay.
One is at Udupi, Chandramouleshwar, Karnataka. One is near Badrinath temple, which is Pandukeshwar temple. And third is Bhimeshwar Mahadev in Guwahati, Assam. So, practically when Lord Shiva did not help much Pandava in their lifetime, and they never constructed any temple of Krishna, but they constructed these three temples.
You see, it's
how
like
can we explain this?
We should see the role that Krishna played in the lives of the Pandavas. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Pandavas also recognize Krishna as such. At the same time, Krishna, as Narad Muni, has glorified Yudhishthir Maharaj. When Yudhishthir Maharaj was feeling morose that I am nothing, what kind of devotee am I? Look at Prahlad. He is so glorious. So Narad Muni said, yes, of course, Prahlad is glorious, but don't think you are any less. In fact, you are more fortunate, Because the Supreme Personality of Godhead has become your cousin. He has become your friend. He has become your servant. And He is living amongst all of you, just like an ordinary person. So this is the point, that even though the Pandavas recognized Krishna as the Supreme Lord, because He was living amongst them, as if He were also a human being. So there was that intimacy. And Krishna also appeared to everybody else like a human being. So therefore the Pandavas may have, I'm not sure whether it is actually the Pandavas who established these temples or not. I cannot state authoritatively. These are things people say. But even if it is so, because Shiva didn't appear and live amongst them as an ordinary cousin or a friend, as a human being, so they had to, for the sake of the society, they worshipped a higher being. What to speak of the Pandavas? There is this episode of Lord Ramachandra. Of course, it is not in the Valmiki Ramayana, but it is said that in Rameshwaram, he worshipped Lord Shiva. So what to speak of the devotees of God? God Himself may do it. And the explanation for that may be that Lord Shiva is an exalted Vaishnava. So to worship a great devotee of the Lord is not a problem, is not an objection, if you do it in the right way, with the right understanding. So the Pandavas also had that understanding. So they worshipped Lord Shiva. There is no contradiction or any objection there. Okay, so thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gaur Premanande.